Right, here we are at King's Home on the 21st of January 2020, and I'm Malcolm King from Gloucester Rugby Heritage. With me I have Clive Major, and today we have Alex Brown here to talk to us. Thanks very much for coming, Alex.
Not a problem at all.
Can we start at the start, so to speak? Where and when were you born?
Gosh, Bristol. I'm a Bristol boy. I was born in 1979, and lived in Bristol actually all my life, and still live in Bristol now. My family are from there, and it's convenient because it's just down the road. Really, it's closer than you think. Everyone says, "Oh, Bristol's miles away," but it's actually not far at all. 40 minutes, and you're into Bristol.
And I think into a rugby family, weren't you?
Yeah, my dad played for Clifton primarily, and had a few games for Bristol at the time. Ended up captaining Clifton towards the end of his career, and continued on playing rugby for Clifton until he was way too old, really. Should never have been playing. Played for a team called the Rats, which is the Race Against Time and Senuity. For Clifton, and thoroughly enjoyed that. And I was involved in Clifton Rugby Club since I was five. Dad was playing for the seniors, and I was playing for the minis, and played there for many years. And then from there went to, my involvement with rugby was with the Colson's School. Turned into a bit of a rugby school towards the latter part of my time in Colson's, and sort of headed up by a formidable school coach, Anna Martinovic, who actually had a bit of a spell at Hartbury College. Alan was inspirational at that age group, and the under 18s, if you like, and drove the school to great success. We had many schoolboy internationals, and progressed on to full-time contracts. Rugby back then had just turned professional. This was 1997, and I was in the last year of my school and at Colson's, and we linked in with Colson's. This is linked in with Bath Rugby Club at the time. Bath had just been a year professional. Andy Robinson played for Bath, but was also our coach at school as well. And he was sort of part of that relationship with Bath Rugby Club and the school. And I think at the time, five of the boys at the school, including myself, went on to get contracts for academy contracts at Bath Rugby Club. Back then, there was no formal academy system. We were just part of the squad, part of sort of 60 players. There wasn't a separation like there is now, and there was no sort of league in situ or anything. It was very much first and second team, and if you managed to get sort of 5 minutes off the bench for the second team, you were doing very, very well. Because it was full of international rugby players and seniors, men.
Right. I think while you were at Colston's, I write to you won the Daily Mail School Cup.
That's right. But Colston's did. They won it three times.
Oh.
I was part of the team that won it twice, which is great because we had a day out at Twickenham. You know, as a schoolboy, it was an absolute treat. We played the match before the international matches, and it was brilliant. You know, fond memories of that, and I've still got the VHS tapes to prove it as well, so I'll get them converted at one point.
Beat in those finals?
It was Queen Elizabeth Grammar School, so Queggs, and that was Mike Tyndall's team, so I played against him. I think we played against them twice in the final. A very good school, but not as good as Colson's back then. Anyway,
who else were you playing with at Colston's?
Some players that you would recognise. Lee Mears, he was my hooker, and we went on to go go to play at Bath together. Ricky Pello, who's now the Exeter Chiefs backs coach. Joe Ewins played for Gloucester. There are a few others who went on to get some good contracts, and none of them really stood out. Like Lee Mears was probably the most prolific one. But that was school, and then join up to Bath. And when I was at Bath,
and by the time you joined Bath, the game had actually gone professional.
Yeah, it was professional. It was the I think second year of it being professional. So just not in any way established, and no sort of understanding about how to get academy youth players and push them on to become full-fledged senior internationals. There was no plan in place. It was just come and train with the senior squad and see if you can benefit from their experience, which was okay for some, and some really did very well, but mainly backs, really, because the profile and size of the backs were you'd cope, but for a forward it was very difficult. In any case, it led me to want to play more rugby, because I thought this professional rugby career is not just about training. I wanted to play, and so I went up to Andy Robinson and said I'd like to go on loan and see if I can get some rugby somewhere. And he said fine, okay. And an opportunity came up to play in Wales at Pontypool. I was 18 at the time. And
were you always intent on a professional rugby career?
No, God, no. I actually was doing a university degree in business at UWE as well at the time. And it was one or the other. I decided about 2-3 months into my university degree that it was going to be rugby that I was going to do for now, because I thought, well, this is the only time I can do this, and I can always come back and do university if I need to. So I went down the rugby route, but the playing rugby was what I wanted to do. I didn't want to train, I wanted to actually go and play. So that opportunity with Pontypool was great, and I took that and went and played for them for the rest of the season. And then joined.
Sounds
the
like
season.
A smart move to me to play behind the Pontypool front row.
Yeah, that, I mean, it was a bit of an eye opener, I have to say. Like going over there, me 18, just out of school, posh English boy, coming out and going to, you know, Pontypool with all its history and tradition as being a really tough rugby club, and you know, when I got there, that they were superb. They were really, really welcoming. Such a great set of lads that I played with, and were very, very supportive of me. And so I've had a fantastic rest of that season, and then they asked me to stay on for another season. I couldn't see really a downside to it, because I was playing every week, and at 18, 19 years old, it was a great learning curve. I'd learned so much just by playing men's league rugby in Wales. Was tough, it wasn't easy, and so it definitely benefited me. And so I played that, but in the same time I was still involved in the English age group setup. So there was the under 19s that it was then. It wasn't under 20, it was under 19s. So I was involved in that.
Who were the leading lights in Pontypool then in that day?
Well, we were coached by an amazing, amazing character, David Bishop.
Yes.
And he was a coach, but also a player. And I don't know how he was playing, because he was way past it, and he was enormous. But he was something else, you know. You could see he had absolute natural talent.
He had a huge reputation, didn't he? As
yeah.
A very hard man.
He was tough, very, very tough individual for a nine. You know, he was something else, and he knew what he wanted, and genuinely got it. But it was great working with him and learning about how to play rugby, because our men's league rugby was very different to schoolboy stuff. And actually, like that time at Pontypool was just, we train in the evenings. Primarily, there was a group of us who do train during the day as well, but not many, because it was semi-professional. And in the evenings, you'd get a crowd come up and watch you train. You know, it was just so well supported, and the diehard fans and supporters of the club, they're just desperate to come and watch you at any given moment, and they were sort of the life of the club, you know. So yeah, it was a fond memories of Pontypool.
Did you play against Gloucester then?
No. Gloucester were in the league above. We played, I think the sort of notable games we played were in the cup, were against Cardiff and Swansea back then. There were some big games, and you probably know Pontypool, but the whole bank, and you know, that whole bank was completely covered in supporters, and it was just a very, very well cherished club by the supporters. The
training involved a particularly tough climb, I think.
That's right, yeah, up to the whatever they call it, up the mountains just beside. It was tough, and we'd often do that in pre-season. Yeah, it was good. It was definitely a good upbringing for me from a rugby perspective, and that sort of helped me with my younger aspirations to be a professional rugby player, because I continued on and went to play for England under 21s, and then signed for Bristol off the back of those games, really. Not anything to do, well, maybe to do with Pontypool, because you know, back then it was being reported that I was playing in Wales, and it was good to see young talent still playing in national rugby, rather than training, because that's what all my peers were doing. So I was signed by Bristol, which was great, because you know, from Bristol to come home and play for Bristol. There were a few other clubs interested, but I obviously wanted to play for Bristol, having been at Bristol, and so I did that. And back and then there was more formality to the academy setup. It had been professional for 3 years then, and the league had an under 21s league, so Bristol under 21s was my first team I played for at Bristol, and that was quite good. We had some really good young players play for Bristol under 21s, some quite big names, Andrew Sheridan, Lee Best.
And Dave Rollett finished by then? Or
who?
Dave Rollett.
Dave Rollett had finished, yeah.
He'd
finished. And so I had the odd opportunity in the first team, but primarily the first year at Bristol was under 21s. Dean Ryan was at Bristol at the time, and he was part of the recruitment process, so I met him and joined, and so he sort of planned out the vision. He said, look, you'll do this for year one, and if you progress, then we can have a look at you year two, which was great, and it was great to have that support from him. And towards the end of that first year, there was a few opportunities where I played in the senior squad at first team, and it went well for me. And then during the pre-season, that next pre-season, I was more of a senior player, so went into the senior squad, and then from there, the second year, third year, and last year, I played every game for Bristol, was, you know, loved it, and managed to get into some England camps then. And then in the last year of Bristol, Dean left the club to join Gloucester.
Just, you played in the second row with Dean, I think.
I did, yeah. Dean was still player then.
Yes.
Yeah, he was playing at eight, and then
yes,
wasn't quick enough, so went into the second row. I played with Dean at eight, and Dean was fantastic. Like, Dean, as far as getting rugby intellect and understanding for the game, and teaching me and giving me that experience, he was superb. Definitely a big part of my career and my success, I suppose, was down to Dean. And so he left here in my last year at Bristol, and took up a contract here. And that last year, Bristol had a poor year, and we should never have had a poor year, and partly down to Dean leaving and the new coach coming in and not necessarily giving us the direction that Dean had given us. but Bristol were relegated that year.
Because he wasn't coach, was he, at that stage?
Dean
wasn't coach.
Dean was player coach.
He was player coach,
yeah,
as I
yeah.
see.
Yeah, Dean would win Buddle complete control over everything. And when he was player coach, it was even harder because he'd be on the pitch and he'd be telling you what to do. But no, it was like Dean was superb, and he was a big loss for Bristol when he left. But I could see why he wanted to come here to Gloucester, and so we were relegated that last year. But I'd actually agreed terms with Dean to come up here and play for Gloucester before way before we were relegated.